Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Kyle. This week on The Conversation, I will discuss the state of the nation with a very big election coming up that's important for every American. Also, Great Britain says goodbye to the EU, and so many people think it's a bad mistake. I think they learned a little bit of a lesson from when we left in 1776 and told them to kiss our butts and we started our own country. Also, I've been called racist and maybe sexist, but I will get into the life of the greatest, winningest basketball coach in Division I NCAA basketball, and it was not a man. It was Pat Summitt of the Tennessee Volunteers, who passed away of early onset Alzheimer's at 64. Also, Hillary says it's time to move on from Benghazi, but we still have family members of the dead who have no answers, but it's time to move on, you know, what difference does it make, you know, they died, we allowed them to die, you know, there was a big FBI presence in Benghazi, but, you know, we can't, whatever, we're not going to talk about it, we're just going to move on. Also, the LGBT community is starting to back Trump because they start seeing Hillary and the left trying to act like the shooting in Orlando, try to downplay it like it's nothing. You know, like a police officer in South Park, Officer Barbary, usually says, "All right, now move along, nothing to see here." Something Glenn Beck said, and he said it for a while, that is starting to ring true. I'll get into that. And, you know, for a couple like the Clintons having a $200 million net worth for, you know, only serving the American public, makes you wonder how that happened. You know, these greedy Republicans, but they got a $200 million net worth. You know, Lionel Messi finally says, that's it for football. No more international play after a loss in Copa America. The Detroit Tigers and also motorsports. So thank you all for tuning into the conversation that you are a part of. Don't say I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Proverbs 20:22. Think about that as you're going through your day today, and welcome to the program, folks. What a week. You know, this past Monday was me and my wife's 1 year anniversary. And I want you to all do me a favor while you're out there listening, wherever you are, just put a prayer out for her. She can use your prayers right now. She's not feeling right, and we don't know if it's the medication she just started or what, but she could really use your prayers. But it was our 1 year anniversary, and we went and saw Striper. They're a local, they're like a big time Christian band. If you're from the 80s, you probably might remember the Yellow and Black Attack, Striper. You know, it's the 30th anniversary of the release of their album, To Hell with the Devil. And, you know, it's coming up, they're going to do that, but, you know, we saw them, and it was in a small venue, and it was 500 people, standing room only, and it was way, way, way too loud. I mean, it's sort of like if you ever go down the road, and you hear a guy, and he cranks up the bass, and his, like, trunk's rattling, and everything's rattling, and it sounds like crap. That's how, I mean, it was just so loud. And earplugs, I wish I would have had them, because I've had ringing in my ears ever since. And I did go to the ear doctor, and since 2011, my hearing is down 10 decibels. in some like high pitch hearing I've lost, but they can't guarantee it's from the show or whatever. He's hoping that it'll heal itself, you know, but it's like all the earplugs would have done was just help my ears. It wouldn't have made it sound better. So like if you have a radio and like, let's crank this song up, we like it, and then you crank it up too much to where it's like not enjoyable. It was a good time, don't get me wrong, but it was just like not enjoyable. But then for being a Christian concert, there were some people like right near the end, like before Striper came out, they just walked up in front of us like they owned the place. When we were the first four people in line, me and my wife and Lisa and Dom were the first four people in line before, you know, the only people in front of us were people that had tickets for the meet and greet, the VIP meet and greet. Besides that, we were the first four people in line, and then there are people coming in trying to move up in front of us, and we're like right by the stage without, you know, without even, you know, I thought, okay, yeah, they're going across to the other side. They got to where I was and my wife was, and like sat right, stood right in front of us. I'm like, excuse me? And like for a Christian concert, they're not being too Christian, some of the fans, but it was a great time. You know, Monday we had a lot of fun. You know, we drove back home. We got to see a friend of ours, art gallery. And we got home and we went out to Hoo Hut for dinner and we lit off some fireworks. Oh, I've got like six of those like holiday shells that you drop the thing in, you light it and it flies up and bing, and you get the all the, like they have like the professional kind of things. It was kind of windy, so I'm like, oh crap, hope when she lights it, the wind doesn't knock the thing over and it flies at us. But, you know, on our wedding day, we did a balloon release, and I sat there, like, at the church the day before and some of the day of, and I was filling up, like, 200 balloons, and I had to put the high float in there. Because if you don't know, the latex molecule, the helium molecule is smaller than the latex molecule. That's why if you fill a balloon up with helium, they don't float that long. So you have to put, like, a chemical called high float, and it's a liquid plastic, and when you put it in there and you roll it around so it gets all coating of the balloon, then when you fill it up, it'll last like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so. And that's what you have to use so that they can last, so that you can do them a day in advance or whatever for the release. And that's what I did all throughout the wedding. But there's a lady, Angie, at High Expectations in Lafayette. If you're in Lafayette, check her out. She's amazing. She got us two purple and two burgundy, and then two, like, wedding-style balloons, and we did a release so we could keep something from our wedding going, a tradition, and that was kind of cool. But, you know, as that stuff was going on, it was a great weekend and stuff, and enough about that, folks. And then when I found out that Pat Summitt died, and I'm like, wow. You know, because sometimes because I don't like Obama, I'm racist or I'm sexist or whatever you want to call me, whatever, you know. But she is the winningest coach in Division I basketball. She was incredible. She was born June 14th, 1952, and died June 18th, 2016, at the age of 64. Playing career was 1970 to 1974 at Martin, Tennessee. Coaching career was 1974 to 2012 at Tennessee. She had 8 NCAA Division I national championships, 16 SEC regular season titles, and 16 SEC tournament titles. Just amazing. She was 8-time SEC Coach of the Year, 7-time NCAA Coach of the Year. Just an amazing, amazing lady. She was just incredible. And she was a woman, not a man. You know, she was a woman. And she was just, I mean, you ask Mike Krzyzewski, he would have looked up to her, you know. She was just an incredible, incredible lady. And it's just, you know, because like I deal with Alzheimer's people a lot where I work and stuff, so you get used to It's just amazing how fast and rapid that disease can grab a hold. But it just, like I always tell people, don't take life for granted. You never know when today is going to be your last day, so enjoy it. Tell your wife you love her. I don't take, just like that, I don't take my nation for granted. The state of the nation is falling apart. I have friends that can't believe that Britain left the EU. Like, I'm surprised it took them that long. Because they were tired of all the regulations and all the BS. And, we're going to have to bring in all these people and all these, do all this stuff. And we have to comply with the bringing in the refugees and all this stuff. And I think they realized that didn't we start America because we were tired of all the regulations and the king's tax and all this stuff. I think it's taking the elitist and going, wait a minute, because no one expected them to just say, okay, they're going to leave the union, like, bleep you. No one expected it. And then they're trying to explain, okay. Sort of like the, what was it, the primaries a couple years ago when Democrats won back the House and the Senate, and watch the liberal media news. Well, this state's too close to call. This state's too close to call. But every other real network was saying, "Yep, this state is Republican. This state's gone Republican. This state's gone, this." But it's like they didn't know what to do. They're like choking on a horse. Like, well, okay, we never expected this. Now what do we say? Because this goes against everything that we. You stand for, you say this, and you say, okay, well, I'm against, we need to ban guns. But then when you, well, how do you explain a South Carolina nightclub where a guy got in a fight with another guy, a 33-year-old, and he didn't, and he pulled out a gun and started shooting, injured four people, and the guy there with the conceal and carry permit, one shot hits him in the leg and ends the whole situation. I can give you example after example where a guy with a concealed carry stops a bad guy. If you have a nightclub of 200 people and the guy's in there shooting away, how is nobody with a gun, how is everyone without a gun supposed to, how's that supposed to help? Every incident I've seen when a guy has a gun, what happens? He takes and ends the situation. This EU situation, it's gonna work out, I believe, in the end. It is. It's gonna work out. And there may be some rocky. There may be some things that this. Stock markets around the world, which I think are politically motivating, I believe they can manipulate them, and I think they're going to manipulate them for a while to try to look at how it, look at what's going on. This is happening, that's happening. Okay, so why would that affect anything? I don't think it would. I really don't. I'm sorry, but ain't gonna. It's like around here when 9/11 happened that night, and everyone's trying to get gas, like, and gas went through the roof, and their place is charging a crap ton of money. The next day, gas was at the price it was at the beginning of 9/11, if not less. And everyone that, and there are people that waited in line like 2 or 3 hours to get gas. Like, how is 9/11 gonna end the ability to get gas? I don't know, but they act like, oh, it's so bad. No, I'm glad. Thank you, England, for finally getting some balls and doing something. I mean, Hillary says it's time to move on with Benghazi. Really, it's time to move on when there are family members that don't have any answers. They want to know what happened. Why are you telling the American public, oh, wait, see what happened? It was a cartoon making fun of Muhammad. That's why they were doing what they did. But you were telling your family members, no, it's not. It wasn't that. It was actually, believe it or not, terrorism. I don't think Hillary, in one form or another, would do anything to stop the terrorists. But it's an ideology, and how do you stop an ideology? I mean, the OBG community has come out recently that they're backing Trump because they feel that Hillary Clinton is trying to downplay this Orlando shooting instead of calling it what it is. Well, you know, as Barack Obama said, you know, I mean, if we call it Islamic extremist or terrorist, you know, what difference does it make? How is that going to change anything? Well, you know what? I can't deal with, okay, if I can't identify what this rash is on my body, how can I treat it? How can I try to fight it? How can I try to do anything? You know, you have to identify it. Okay, that's chicken pox. I need about 50 gallons of calamine lotion in a bathtub. And I'll be like, Garrett, come. But seriously, if you can't identify it, how can you fight it? If he's not willing to call a spade and say, hey, it's a terrorist. It is. He is motivated